Okay, good morning. Today's class is the Lishmat Yerchmel Diana Vikadayas in Venema Fushal Marashambi Amina Denimitsara and Mayor Tuvia Ben Chaya. Success in Elisheva Vanabak, Gadi Abdul Elisheva, Emmet Abdul Elisheva, Shefer Elisheva, Reda Makam Tavabasha, and also Fushalim of Chana Eden Bat Gazala. Also, please share and rate the podcast. We're also collecting money, whoever wants to give, for money for people for Passover. I have no idea if anybody's gone to the supermarket for Passover. It looks like inflation on steroids. I mean, a cookie is like $7, you know, by mistake. God forbid you drop the cookie, you're out $7. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. So I can, Baruch Hashem, I can afford it. But I can't imagine other people, you know, apple juice, $18 for like a thing. I mean, this is like, not even in Monte Carlo do you pay these prices. Do you understand? If you were to go to Monte Carlo right now, to the highest casino of the highest, and I've been to, you wouldn't pay Passover prices of what you're paying today. So I have no idea. I have no idea how in the world people are doing it. Israel's locked down with all this protest. And just people, I have no idea. Again, I have no idea how people are financially doing this. Obviously, God provides the world, but anytime you have these opportunities, remember very simple. You're getting an opportunity. We're getting an opportunity to give. So I was bombarded yesterday with 1,000 requests, and they are legitimate. So whoever can afford to give, I have my thing. Also, I'm also collecting for books. We're giving out books all over the place. Rabbi Rush's books all over the place. So whoever, please fund this, you can open up your heart. And remember, it's extremely important that you should understand this, that if you are going to celebrate your beautiful holiday and you get judged, did you take care of somebody else's table? So if you're gonna be in your beautiful holiday, your beautiful Seder, with your everything's, you know, you're beautiful. And if you didn't take care of other people's tables, you're gonna get judged. So this is it. I will despise your offering. I will despise your, because it's extremely important. On the holidays, you have to take care of people. It's extremely important. You have to take care of people. So as you wanna live, no problem living a very comfortable life, but make sure you live. You give out also. It's extremely important that we don't take all this wealth and this stuff and we use it as, you have to use it to give it. And if you're lucky, you're able to give to the right organizations. You know, some people, unfortunately, giving to the organizations, you know, like the San Diego Zoo for, you know, save an elephant when there's people for, you don't have the schut. You don't have the schut to give to the right organization. That's another thing. You have to pray that the charity you give should not give to the San Diego or San Francisco Museum for Jews, where half of the thing looked like a no comment. That's a very Scorpio line to say. But again, whatever you can, my organization, your organization, wherever you want to give, specifically food for poor people, I guarantee you there's no way you can give it to the wrong people because it's so ridiculous. It's the prices are just crazy. Crazy is not the word. Okay. Also, please share and rate the podcast. That'd be wonderful. All right. We're going to have two great concepts today. I'm taking two articles for one from Rafael Kramer and one from Chaya Rivka Zelowski of Breslov.org. Breslov.org is the website. And two beautiful things on this parsha. And it's extremely important that we should understand the concept of a mincha offering. We speak about speaks about the concept of a mincha offering. A mincha offering practically says that when a person is in distress, it's extremely important that your intention. Before we speak about this, let me speak about the first article before we get to this one. It says in Parshat Tzav, The Torah says, in my distress, you relieved me. This is also from Psalms 1:4. That means even in the distress itself, in the problem itself, a person has to understand that there's a solution to it. Rav Pinsker said this very beautifully. If we're speaking in the Seder itself about being free, and you're still talking about, well, we have problems with this, we have problems with this, we're lacking this, you're free because even in the problem, You're free because you can have emunah. What that means practically is I could be in the middle of a fight. I could be in the middle of an obstacle in my life, but I'm free that I know I have Hashem in my life. That is freedom, that I feel connected, versus not being free, meaning that I need something to happen in order for me to be free. Real freedom is to be, is to see the light in the distress, is to turn the, to see the light in the darkness, to see that, to turn the darkness into the light. That is the greatest freedom that we have. Not waiting for the light to turn on to be able to be free, which is very today. If this problem went away, my anxiety would be gone. Don't worry, it'll just come to another one. The whole point is that if I can sit there and dance in the rain, that is freedom. Can I dance in the middle of the storm? Can you dance in the middle of the storm? That is freedom. And ask yourself that question. Are you able to dance? Are you able to have the emotional strength? Are you able to have the trust in your creator that you can dance in the middle of the storm? Or do you have to wait for storms to be over to dance? That is the key. That is the key on what life either makes you or breaks you. Trauma can make you or trauma can break you. People come out with PTSD, post-traumatic stress, or they come out with PTSG, post-traumatic growth. So really, that's a question in your life. You have to really, because you're going to be put in these situations. Because otherwise, why would you relieve me if I'm not in distress? But God really, really is constantly making you stronger and stronger in your life in order to do that. This is why it's extremely important that we shift from thinking to thanking. Thinking, and like Robert Gardner said, thinking is very I. When you get stuck in life, all you do is think. But when you know that your mind can only take you so far, you need to go to thank. You need to go to gratitude. Gratitude takes you beyond the mind, beyond the current situation. Gratitude already gets you into the future, which is exactly what we were talking about. How? Why does gratitude get me into the future? That means if I want to taste right now, a taste of the geula, taste of a piece of redemption, a piece of salvation, in whatever I'm going through right now, you have to go into gratitude. You have to go into gratitude because gratitude itself is going to be the only offering that you're going to give when Mashiach comes. Unbelievable concept. That means if I want to bring the future to the present moment, I have to go into gratitude because gratitude itself is the only thing that's going to be left. That means there will be no more korbans except for the korban of hodah, of gratitude. So what do you think Rabbi Rush tells us? When you have a problem, just go into todah, go into gratitude, because he wants you to already taste a piece of the salvation in the current moment. And once you're in that moment, already you're more positive, and you feel better about the situation. Then you start dancing. And once you start dancing in the storm, then your mind is open, and then you're free. You're free. But most of us either avoid the storms, right? Either avoid the storms, or we don't dance in them. So that's the question. You're going to be in the storm anyway. It's going to happen to you, because that's life. Life has to have storms. Dance in the storm. Get used to dancing in the storm. Don't wait for the storm to be over to dance. This is the basis of these classes. It's exactly the opposite of psychology and philosophy, of intelligence. Everybody's so intelligent, so intelligent. But it's not about intelligence. There's a time for intelligence, but there's a time to surrender. Parsha 7, the Torah tells us about the korbanot, the offerings, the few types of offerings, the korban todah, the thanksgiving offering, which is gratitude to God. The Talmud tells us in the time of Geula, the future redemption, all the other offerings will be suspended except for the todah, for the offering of todah. Rav Nachman explains it that when we're going through a situation, any time that we are not going to have any desire, there's going to be with the time of Geula, there's going to be a time where you're not going to be in conflict with God. You're going to be completely saying, I want what you want. Imagine what your relationship would look like if your husband says, I want what you want, and if your wife says, I also want what you want, what would that look like? That was almost, it would be, somebody had to, would have to wake you up from a dream. Because it would be so la la land, they would, you couldn't even think of that. I mean, imagine one day looking like that. Imagine one day where everybody's will is exactly what the other person's will is. Can you imagine what that look like? What that would look like? What would you pay for that? What would you pay to be aligned? What would you pay for permanent shalom bayit in your life? Is there a price for that today? There's no price. It's priceless. It would be absolutely priceless to be able to have peace. Or if somebody tells you, listen, what would you pay today to live in the moment? If you're every day you lived in the moment. Again, you could live in the moment in the middle of Vietnam on a hut and you'd be happier than a guy with $1 billion in a Manhattan apartment. Because you'd be happy, you'd be in the moment. The other guy's thinking, what happened if I lose this? How about if I lose this? What happened if I lose this? He's got 99 wars in his head, and this other guy's just living in the moment. Do you understand that what living in the moment, this is what we're trying to do. And we only get there by elevating our consciousness. To the extent that we elevate our consciousness, then we live in the moment, then we're completely recognizing that the storm is part of the process. So Reb Nachman says, you're going to get to a point where you're not even going to have any conflict. There's not going to be conflict. The reason why we're commanded, why Reb Nachman told us all the time that we should learn halacha, is because there's a lot of times where the division is really in your heart. There's specific things that Reb Nachman says every day you have to do. You have to talk to his bodhidut, you have to say his bodhidut, you have to talk to God. And he recommended also that a person should learn laws, Hebrew laws, every day. He recommended, no matter what, you should learn law. Why law? Because the problem in my life and the problem in any relationship, it's usually a problem of a division in the heart. The heart is divided. Because if I knew God is right here at this moment, I would cry out to God, I would be emotional, I would be completely have full energy, but because of the duress that we're in, we don't believe in our prayers, we don't believe God's there, we don't believe this is going to make a difference. So there's a concept of a concealment. Because our hearts are divided, just like you're in a relationship, living like a typical Libra in a relationship, your heart's always divided. Should I do this? Should I do that? So imagine really having real happiness when your heart is constantly divided. So because our hearts are divided, we're not enthusiastically serving God with all of our energy. Because if you believed he was right here, you would do it. So this is why he tells us that this is not normal, that we should have a division in the heart. It's normal because you have an ego and you have a Yetzirah that constantly wants to cool you off. So we learn halacha to bring back the division back. Why? Because the word halacha, cholek, means a divided. Halacha reconnects you. So learning halacha actually warms you. I try to learn halacha every day just to get that heart. And it does affect you. It gives you more intention in your prayer. Because the reason why I don't have intention is because my heart's divided. You understand? It's divided. So Reb Nachman says there's going to be a time where you're not going to have any conflict with God's will. You're going to accept everything. You're going to be besimcha. Reb Nachman explains that there's nothing going to be pulling you. But during the time of Geula, we won't be pulling away. We won't have any reason to pull away or to sin. The only relationship we'll have is with Hashem is one of gratitude, appreciation, and love. So that is the goal. If somebody should ask you, what is your goal? My goal should be able to appreciate God, to love Him, and to see everything as one, and to see no division. It's only when we don't see one today is where we see all this division in our lives. Because if you really believed everything was from God, you would be dancing in the sky, you'd be dancing in the rain, every single moment. You wouldn't be upset, you wouldn't be anxious, you wouldn't be depressed, you wouldn't be blaming people, you wouldn't be shooting the messenger, and all of these things, you wouldn't walk around like your head's about to fall off. You wouldn't be doing this, because you don't believe everything's from God. Why? Because you have a division in your faith. And that's the problem. That's the gullus we're in. That's the gullus we're in. So, whatever you don't use, you lose in life. If you don't use your, for example, let's say you're not exercising your posture, right? What happens? You walk around with all kinds of back pains and you have all kinds of shoulder issues because you're not straightening up. You're bent over. So anything just like posture, just like anything else, right? They say everybody's bad posture is causing all kinds of back pains and all this, right? Because we're not looking up, we're looking down. We're on our phones all the time. And this is exactly what we have to do. If you want to taste a piece of the world to come, if you want to taste a piece of Geula, which is redemption, Reb Nachman tells us that we have to start appreciating saying Todah right now, because that's all that's going to be left. That means in the world to come, everybody's going to be a point of gratitude. It's going to be 100% gratitude. There's going to be 100% gratitude. Why? Because knowledge is going to be 100%. You understand? There's a direct relationship between your level of perspective and your level of gratitude. If you have a perspective that I know nothing and God knows everything, then you're going straight into gratitude. But because you think you know everything, and that means God knows nothing, then you go into ingratitude. So this is where God today, He wants to get rid of ingratitude, is the worst of sins. The worst sins today is ingratitude. This is why complaining was the reason why the intensified exile in Egypt. So we have to ask ourselves, and this is why he wants, and you see today, where relationships, that's where you're getting tested the most today. Where are we seeing this today? It's in our relationships. Are we grateful for our husbands? Are we grateful for our wives? And ingratitude becomes resentment, and resentment is number one marriage killer. So you could see the lack of appreciation because we don't appreciate God, we don't appreciate other people. And this just basically comes in every area of our lives. So this is where God puts a situation. He flips our world around and he shows you gratitude. And he shows you points where you're completely helpless and you have to surrender and you start thanking him for the small things. And that builds your momentum to get you into a better place. You know, you see sometimes, you know, you're driving by, you have the music on, and next thing you know, you see a car flipped over. And you're like, wow, thank God. You automatically, your ego checks, the music goes down, perspective widens, you're like, oh my God. All of a sudden, everything flashed behind your eyes. Everything flashed, and no longer, now you're focusing on gratitude. Why do you need to see a car being flipped over on the middle of the street for you to have hodah? Or God forbid you hear a tragedy. Because this, again, we're not used to this. We're very physical people having a spiritual experience. But if you come to understand that the only thing that's going to be left in the world to come, and the world to come represents a life of complete knowledge, where knowledge is completely full, where you're living in the present moment. That is 100% present moment. Think about all the things that's bothering you today, and it's all related to not being in the present moment. Think about all the times how much energy we have when we're stressed out. You don't have the head, but think how much energy you have when you feel blessed. When you're blessed, you have energy. When you're stressed, you have no energy. So think about these concepts. When you're thinking, you have energy. When you're thinking, you have no energy. As we begin to do these new levels of appreciation, his great kindness, we begin only to understand the love that created the world only for the sake of gratitude. However, we don't have to wait to begin, to wait for the geula to wait. We could start appreciating now. And when we start appreciating now things, then you start tasting the taste of living like it is in a world to come, which is a place where everything is one. So the storms, you start not only, you don't need an umbrella, you enjoy the rain, you enjoy the cleansing. Instead of, you know, if we only saw this, you know, for example, let's say a guy all of a sudden, he's 35 years old and he wants to get married and he's fooled around a lot until he's 35. Now he gets married, the first year looks like, you know, Mayfield, Holyfield, UCF fights. He's got to recognize this is all a big cleansing for him. You know, the bigger the sins, the more intention the cleansing has to happen. So if we're smart, the guy would go in there and we just be besimcha every single time he's having a situation. But again, I'm not telling you to be perfect, but I'm telling you that sometimes you need to see the bigger picture in life. Because if we don't see the bigger picture, all we do is think, and we should be thanking. Because thinking is A, almighty. Thinking is self-centered. So think about the next time you're thinking too much. Stop thinking. Because you're only thinking, what are you thinking with? You're thinking with your own, you're thinking with the meaning you gave something, which already could be the wrong answer. It's already 99% the wrong meaning. Because most people give things the wrong meaning right away. Because we give meaning based on how we feel about ourselves at that time. When you're in a good mood, you walk into a supermarket, somebody yells at you, and you're not even going to make it about you. You're not even going to say, well, it has nothing to do with me. I give you $1 million tomorrow, walk into a supermarket, have somebody cut you off, and see if you'll be upset. You'll be like, go ahead, take my space. I have all the time in the world. But let's say that day, you're having a horrible day. Go into the supermarket and see what happens if somebody cuts you off. You start screaming, yelling. What happened? You still got cut off. What's the difference? Because at that time, you had a certain meaning that gave to you. So we have the option that we can change the meaning and change the feeling of everything. So this is why it's extremely important, your intention. So this is another beautiful article by Raphael Kramer. And he spoke about that it doesn't matter. That means not everybody at the time where one person was able to, he spoke about the concept of sacrifices, but the whole point is God wants your heart, right? That means a person sometimes could bring based on his financial ability, he could bring a goat, a sheep, a bull, but sometimes what happens if a person could not afford it? That means his offering would be a mincha offering, would be a flower, because that's all the person can afford, right? And what happens, no matter what a person brought, God still called it an appeasing fragrance. So what this means practically in our lives, sometimes we have clarity in our lives. We can bring a bigger offering. But sometimes we're down and out. The mincha offering, when a person prays mincha, the afternoon prayer, he's constricted, his head's all over the place. He just to say the words, it's considered like you had clarity in the morning. So there's times that you're going to be under a lot of duress. And you're not going to want to feel like praying. But the fact that you pray, God help me, a couple of words, that is considered like you praying at the peak of peaks on another day. We're thinking, oh, I don't feel like it. What do you know what feeling's like? Are you getting rewarded for your feelings? You're getting rewarded you're getting rewarded for the situation you're in. And how much effort you're trying to put in the effort in situation. Not the results. So when a person's under duress and he still is able to go and learn for 10 minutes, that to him is considered like another person learning for 5 hours in Bnei Brak with no problems. We're thinking, oh, it's one for one. For me, that sometimes to prepare these classes, when I'm running businesses, I have kids, dogs, this. And I still do it. And I scram that 15, 20 minutes. And instead of going to sleep, and I prepare, that's considered like me preparing in a Zen studio for 5 hours. You understand? Because it doesn't, the intention is what matters. The intention is what matters in the spiritual world. Not the time. We're thinking, oh, if I have this, I have this. Today the world is on ADD. If you're in business, you got ADD. If you have this, everybody's ADD. So today, to concentrate today, is Misura Nefesh, is completely self-sacrifice. And today, if you do not pray loudly, or if you do not learn with intention, with energy, your head is going to go in 1,000 directions. So this is why we need to invoke emotions, to invoke concentration. You basically have to become a Scorpio. And you have to have more intensity when you do things. Because if you don't have enough intensity, Your head's going to go like Wimbledon every day, spinning like a dreidel. And that's what's causing our why we can't have kavana. Why does the Yetzer Hara attack attention? Why does he attack attention more than anything? It's because in order to make a vessel, you need both mind and heart. And if your mind is here and your heart is somewhere else, you are not creating a vessel. It's called an incomplete vessel. Incomplete vessel, no shefa. Without concentration, shefa cannot come down. Reb Nachman tells us that the word ani, aleph nun yud, represents the numerical value of 61. Okay? Aleph nun yud. That means ve ani, and I will bless them. The pasuk says, ani, and I will bless them. And I will bless them. So you're saying, ani is a blessing. Aleph nun yud represents aleph, represents we get the aleph. Everybody gets an aleph. Nun, Kabbalistically, refers to a person's speech. Right? His speech is the nun, his malchut, his ability to speak. And yud represents his thoughts. Thoughts and speech, attention. So you have to have intention, and then you have to put attention. And that causes kavana, and that causes shefa to come down. So you have to be emotionally connected to what you're saying. So this what he's saying here, when a person brought a mincha offering, that's all he had. So when you're in a situation of duress, and you're in a situation of stress, don't do nothing. Do a little bit. Even if it's a little bit with intention, that could be compared to a lot when you have clarity. If you take me on Shabbat, for example, my concentration on Shabbat, you can't compare it to the week. I'm in a different world. But it doesn't mean I get rewarded more on Shabbat than I get during the week. It means because there I have more clarity. The Yetzer Hara is diminished. During the week, he wants to do everything to stop you from doing things. The Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, cannot stop your prayers from going up. But he can stop you from praying. Amazing concept. He cannot, once it's out, it's out. But he could stop you from doing it. So look at resistance. Start dancing in the rain. Put some energy in your tank by believing and thinking and seeing everything as good. Because I guarantee you today, what's causing you not to have energy is because you feel more stressed than blessed. Period. And if you feel more blessed than stressed, you will have more energy. You'll activate. Your heart will be full. And then you will shoot arrows in heaven. And those arrows will be gladly accepted because they're also needed in heaven. So let's try to turn it up right now instead of give up. Let's stop feeling so stressed, and let's stop feeling I'm single and I'm a victim and I'm not, my wife is not treating me well and my husband's not treating me well and I'm struggling. That's not going to help you becoming a victim. Nobody's giving out victim checks. You want to shift it from a co-creator, change it consciously, go into massive thinking, gratitude, and that kills the ego. Gratitude kills the ego. It can't survive. Gratitude kills the ego because the ego wants to keep you on a low consciousness. And all you think about when you're in a low consciousness is what? Having. In a higher consciousness, what are you thinking about? Doing. See the difference? In a lower consciousness, our old intention, I need to have this, I need to have this, I need to have this. In a higher consciousness, you're interested more in doing. You're more in the moment, in being. Human being instead of human doing. And that's where we have to really, really get to that shift. And Hashem help us all, that we should understand, get to it. And this is why at the end, there's three types of prayers. Our sages say there's a prayer of Moshe, Tefillah LeMoshe and Tehillim, Tefillah LeDavid, and Tefillah VeAni, and a prayer of a poor person. The Zohar teaches us that the prayer of the poor person is the most desired than all of them. The prayer of the broken heart. The prayer of the person struggling in a situation where you can barely sit down and focus for 10 minutes, yet he still says it. It's not when you're whole. This confusion today, I need to smoke weed so I can concentrate. I need to get high so I can concentrate, feel connected. Opposite. You don't feel connected when you're drunk and you feel high. You're just blotting out the problems. You need to feel broken and cry out to your Creator, not high. He wants to see your brokenness. He doesn't want to see your wholeness. You think God needs another perfectionist walking around? Wannabe perfectionist? You think he needs that? He wants people to come to this world to recognize faith and to be able to go and under difficult situations and have faith and believe in God, and that is the most precious thing you could do. When you're dancing in the rain, you're basically saying, God, I want what you want. God, I'm happy with what right now. I don't understand you, but I trust you, and that gets you everything in life. Or we can have a victim mindset, and we can sit on the waiting list, like you're waiting on the DMV. Go to the DMV tomorrow, and just wait. Wait for an appointment. You see how frustrating that is. You see people's faces there. That's what happens when you want to wait. You want to wait for things to happen? No, you need to make it happen. When we're able to create that self-sacrifice, then we make things happen. We don't wait things. And that's what there's three types of people. People that watch things happen. People that watch things happen. People that say, I don't know what happened. And people that make things happen. Are you the one watching things happen? Are you saying, I don't know what happened? Or are you the one making things happen? That is where we have to shift. Hashem bless everybody. We should all make things happen. Have a great day.
This podcast is sponsored by PICC, Florida's leading public adjusters for 22 years of handling residential commercial claims in Florida. Dealing with an insurance company when having a property loss can be discouraging. Let PICC encourage you and maximize your compensation. Please call us at 305-956-3666.